Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
1 week.
Till what?
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Y'all don't even know. So, okay.
It's the, I hear those sleigh bells ringing.
Hey.
Come on, let's Pour a sleigh by the candle. Go ahead. This is just background. You talk over that.
So, super excited. I am literally preparing. So let's start right. I'm going to just say this right now. This is going to be news for Alan as well.
Okay.
So it's breaking news. Everybody's finding out at the same time.
Okay.
I'm officially on holiday break. The out of office email is on.
You the most breaking this.
That's not true. That's not true. But
wait, when were you back?
I've been back, but now I'm out. Christmas has started for me.
Oh my
gosh. So I am responding to emails when I feel like it, but I have the out of office on. Ain't gonna be no new tasks in 2023. I will holla at y'all in 2024.
Must be nice.
And I'm excited. I'm excited about the holidays.
Yeah.
Y'all know I love Christmas, but this year it's different. So this year is super different. Like, so this is my first Christmas without my dad. That's a little heavy for me. This is first Christmas with my boo. That's new for me. And everything that comes with that. So I'm excited about Christmas. I'm also like a little, I don't know how that Christmas morning is going to feel. My father's always like one of the first people I talk to on Christmas. So I know Thanksgiving hit harder than I expected. Like that caught me. I didn't recognize how different it felt. So we'll see how Christmas feels.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen. The big question I want to know is, will there be pancakes and champagne? Because that's the typical Christmas for you.
Champagne already on chill.
Yeah.
A special bottle.
Ooh.
Special bottle.
Blanc de Blanc.
It's a special bottle. And I bought a bottle of champagne that I've never had before. So typically I like to get a champagne that like I've had before or that like I really, really enjoyed at some point throughout the year and I want to revisit it on Christmas Day.
Run that thing back.
This year because I'm spending Christmas.
We're doing something new.
So I'm going for a champagne I've never had before.
The virgin taste.
Literally. Literally. But it's a champagne that I've bought for a lot of people, but I've never had it myself.
Yeah. Okay, good. I think that's the way you should do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Experience new things with your new people.
On Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, listen.
I just hope it ain't
going to be new.
I just hope it ain't nasty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if it is, there's plenty of more champagne. Go ahead and open another bottle.
Must be nice.
But yeah, pancakes and champagne on Christmas morning.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. All right. I have a special Christmas that I can't talk about till after Christmas.
What? Is it something you're doing new?
No, just.
Then it's the same. Then we already know what it is.
Yeah. So mine's special though. So just.
Yours.
We'll just leave it at that. We'll talk about it after.
It's regular. Just.
Yeah.
Doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have Christmas plans?
Yeah.
Other than like. You and your immediate family getting together. Are you guys doing anything else? Are you going to the city? Are y'all doing?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus. Your kids too old for that?
Now, the one thing that we do very consistently is we have the elf on the shelf who visits us.
How's that going?
Great. Yo, the elf on the shelf be getting it in.
So how do you feel about the fact that this is probably one of your last years with the elf on the shelf?
It's not.
Your children are damn near grown.
Yeah, no. The elf comes. Like, it ain't up to us. Like, it just comes. So, and it's mischievous. And it's getting into stuff, and it continues to do it.
And you, okay, but
her name's Lila.
Lila, I didn't know that her name was Lila.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you have an inclusive elf family. At what point, though? I mean, your kids are damn near paying taxes. At what point do
Yo, they she no just comes, care. B. Like, just like you still believe in Santa.
Facts.
Because Santa's real. Facts. Like, straight up.
Facts.
So, Lila will be in the house for the foreseeable future, it seems.
Okay, so your oldest, who's away at college.
Mm-hmm. Came home looking like a real live college student. Okay. My man went thrifting. He had some big wide leg jeans.
Wow.
With, like, drawings on them.
He had drew a pink, on them?
No, no. Like, they, I guess, came like that. He had a blazer, a bucket hat. I'm like, where'd this college student come from?
Okay, so this college student.
My son has never bought one stitch of clothing for himself. Like, he's never even been a part of the selection process. Like, my son could care less what he looks like.
Okay. So, to that point, is he still checking for Lila also?
I think he appreciates knowing that she's still around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something familiar.
The innocence of childhood.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with it. Maybe I should do an elf on the shelf.
Yeah. Champagne elf.
Ooh.
A foreign. Ooh. Foreign elf.
Right. No, yeah. I'm never doing that.
All
right.
So look. So last week we talked about Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
And y'all don't believe us. Those were real life stories.
I don't even believe us. Because the stories that Alan was telling were just a little bit too much. You were putting a little bit too much on
Yo, people be out here wildin' out.
No, I know that. But the thing is, I think the notion of last week's show is that you're wildin' out and you don't know you're wildin' out. Right? Mm. Like, you do what you think you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're making progress, you're just taking what seems like the logical next step, or honestly, a lot of times you're just feeling good, like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and go, we could go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that you're actually bugging.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wildin' Out was just an opportunity to realize, like, some of us have all made the same mistakes.
Mm.
And you were wilding and you didn't realize the financial impact until later, but you did it, you survived it. But just know, we've all done it.
So this week is a little different. It's the opposite.
It's the opposite, but I think the notion is still the same, right? So this week, we're going to talk about...
Triumph.
Triumph.
Yes.
Stories, like real stories of people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, Alan's not going to start lying like he did last week.
Oh,
but
my God.
People that we know and how they became successful. And our hope, similar to last week, is that, like, you can relate in the success stories as well. Like, we don't always want you to relate in the nonsense. We also know there are plenty of different success stories out here. And so we are sharing real life stories that we're aware of. And hopefully it will resonate with you and your real life story towards your success.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are clients, and they're all minorities. They're all Black and brown people, men and women, who have been able to build wealth and build success. And these are stories that you're not hearing about. Like, you often hear about the person that went broke. You don't hear a lot about the person that made money. And you know what made us want to do this show today is we were listening to an interview with Magic Johnson. And, you know, Magic's now a billionaire. Big shout out to him.
Shout out to him.
And
shout out to Cookie.
Yeah.
First of all, she's a writer.
Yeah. Not too many women would have stuck with him.
I'm sorry.
But I feel like it worked out.
It worked. Yes, it worked out. Shout out to Cookie.
Yeah, he's a billionaire now.
Shout out to Cookie for her investment. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, fine. But in Magic's story, one of the first things he did when he got to the Lakers is he said, who are all these people in the front row? They clearly have a lot of money and success. Give me a list of all their names and phone numbers, and I want to call them and reach out to them to figure out how they made their money. And in doing so, he just learned how people made their money. He got mentorship. And he got some ideas as to how he wanted to operate in business. And that helped to push him to success. And so we're giving you some stories.
So one thing I want to take from that, though, in 2024, identify your front row.
Mm.
Right? Like, what area? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a part of an organization. Maybe it's at your kid's school. But identify some place. And it doesn't have to be a physical place. But some place where you feel like there are a lot of people that you have a level of respect for, or they sit at a different level than you in whatever capacity, whether it's financially, professionally, maybe even in wellness or personally, and identify who your front row is for 2024 and pull a Magic on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to them.
Yeah.
And by the way, your front row may not look like you.
100%. Hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah. It may not look like you. They may be older than you. They could be younger than you.
And don't hate. If they are,
they could be a different nationality or ethnic group, but, like, figure out who you might want to emulate. You know, I always say, if you're the smartest person in your friend group, you might need to upgrade your friends.
You definitely need a different friend group, but I hope they don't look like you. And the reason why is because we learn different things from other cultures. I feel like we learn different things from other races on how they think about things. And so we want all the tips. We don't just want the black tips, mm-hmm. right? Like, we want all of the tips. We do also want to know what our shared experience is, but we want to know what other people are experiencing. We want to know what other people know that it's outside of our current culture and community.
Yeah, one of the things that made me want to get into wealth management is I wanted to steal. And when I say steal, I mean I wanted to steal stories and information that don't make it to the black community. I wanted to figure out, why is it that in certain families and communities, there's wealth that's being passed on?
Like from day one.
Yeah, like when somebody dies, we ain't trying to bury the body. We're trying to figure out what we're going to inherit. Like, I wanted to steal that information and be able to share it. So we're going to do a little bit of that today.
Okay.
A little Robin Hood Christmas.
A little bit of Robin Hood Christmas.
Yeah. So the first story, it's a pretty basic one, but I do think this will resonate with somebody. We have a client who was a podcast listener who reached out to us. And at the time, his financial situation was very mid, as the young people would say.
Fact. Yeah. Look at you.
Quite mid.
Look at you learning in real time.
Listen, okay. I got a godson who keeps me up. Oh, and yes. I have children.
Okay.
Okay. So financially, quite mid. He was kind of, you know, struggling to just keep his head above water financially. And he was working at this company that no one had ever heard of. Turned out to be Zoom. Zoom popped. COVID happened and Zoom really took off. And he went from being a regular worker and a regular job to...
And when we say regular, like, he just, you know, was managing his finances and, you know, paying his bills on time. And just hoping that he would be able to reach his financial goals to retire comfortably one day, but not really sure, just incrementally getting by.
And Zoom popped. Like, the stock went up a ton, like I think like 500% or 1,000%. I don't remember the percentage, but he had received some stock options and some restricted stock units that have vested. He had been there long enough for those things to materialize. And the story here is not just picking the right company, because I do think the company you work for and its equity compensation program can be a big part of your wealth building. You also need to know how to manage it. And when he came to us, you know, it's very easy when you're one of these paper millionaires, it's easy to just let the stock do a round trip on you. I mean, like it goes up, like
spin the block.
You go from being worth, you know, a couple hundred thousand to be worth, let's say, 10 million.
And then it comes right
And then
back.
You're like, you know, I want to hold on because I think I want to be worth 15.
Nah, fam.
And it spins the block, it drops, and now you're back at a couple hundred thousand.
Shout out to Peloton.
So, so crazy. So what's great is, like, you know, we worked with them and we said, look, what are your goals? Like, what are the things you're really looking to achieve? And now that you're at this level, maybe instead of being greedy, let's sell some stuff. Let's liquidate some of these stock holdings to lock in what will help you to get to the actual goals you came up with before you had the money.
The bird in the hand.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And he did that, but a lot of people hold on to stuff for way too long, thinking that it's going to be like they go from, you know what, I'd like to retire at a decent age. I'd like to pay for my kids to go to college. I'd like to help them to buy a home, and that's it. Then they start making money. They start seeing, you know, the potential for where it could go. Now they're like, you know what? I would love to be on that Forbes list.
Yeah. Doing too much.
Yeah.
Doing too much. You don't even have a Forbes subscription. So you wouldn't know if you were on a list anyway. But realistically, to Alan's point, it's also like just knowing when you've won. Right? Versus trying to take it too far. Like, you've won. There was a goal in place. You wanted to be more than okay. To Alan's point, you want to, listen, I want to be able to, you know, pay for this house. I want to pay for my kids. I want to be able to leave something behind. And when that happens, it's not that it's time to quit, but it's time to address it.
Yeah.
And lock that in. And then you can set new goals. And that's exactly what this client did. The other thing that this client did that I hope resonates is that, you know, like, he worked and took a chance on a small company.
Yeah.
Right. And not to say that Zoom was small, but like no one had heard of Zoom.
Yeah. Word.
Right. And it wasn't this big thing. And for a lot of people, they only want to work at GlaxoSmithKline. They only want to work at
Microsoft.
At Microsoft. Right. But a lot of people who've created wealth for themselves, it was because they worked at Tesla before it was a Tesla.
Sometimes you got to work at DigiSoft.
Something. You know what I mean? Like, you start at a company, you got to believe in this company, you believe in what they're doing, and it's good, honest work, right? Versus it's not, they don't have the amazing Facebook offices, but it's good, honest work. And you apply yourself and you apply your skills there in believing what this company is about.
Yeah.
And so when you receive those stock options, when you receive those RSUs, you know, you just bet on that.
Yeah, it could be big.
It could be big.
And in the words of Willie Nelson, since we're borrowing from other cultures today, Uh-oh. You got to know when to hold them.
Oh.
Know when to fold them and know when to walk away.
Okay. We have clients who were a part of Zoom mm-hmm. pre-COVID.
Moderna,
mm-hmm. the Moderna clients.
Yeah, the come up, the glow up.
The glow up. What's a Moderna? What was a Moderna in 2019?
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, that sounds like a foreign. We have Moderna clients who no one knew. They worked for Moderna. They were just going to work every day, doing their job, just taking the stock that came with it, whatever, just, you know, getting right. And it was like practically overnight, they were millionaires.
Yeah.
The moment the word dropped that Moderna might have that vaccine, up.
Yeah. No, word. And the thing about these little known companies is that, you know, there might be a chance you got to take with them, right? You know, there's certain people that feel a lot more comfortable at the big company. But for folks who are, you know, like, listen, you're young. There's a lot of people making money in startups. There's a lot of people making money in early stage companies. And it's more than just about the stable opportunity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to take some chances with your career.
Correct.
And bet on the company that's on the rise. Like, we have another client that's working at one of these social media
facts. I was getting newbies. Ready. Yes, I was getting ready to say that as well. And we have clients. We have plenty of clients who are at Facebook. We have plenty of clients who are at TikTok.
Yeah.
Right. But we have clients who are at some of the newer joints.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it is just about being open minded to the jobs and the opportunities that are presented to you. And no, it may not be the hottest thing on the block right now.
Mm-hmm.
But just do your job. Right. Like, just do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And to your point, these clients are millionaires.
Yeah. And by the way, we should talk really quickly about how to manage those RSUs, you know, like, and your options. Like, the biggest thing with options is you want to hold them for a while. You want to make sure they don't expire. So you got to exercise them before they expire. But if they give you 10 years until they expire, you don't want to be exercising them in year one. Like, you want to wait a little bit. But if you get those RSUs, a lot of times these companies are giving you what's called golden handcuffs. Like, every year you're getting more and more. Like, you don't want to be too greedy. You want to be selling those RSUs because you know you've got more coming. But the big idea here is that you don't want to be greedy and just hold on to everything. You want to be smart and diversify, for sure.
So we have another story, similar, right, where someone worked at a company diligently, might not have had the highest position in the company, but just worked diligently for a very, very long time, and was able to retire in a very, very comfortable space.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about your dad?
Yeah, my dad worked at UPS for 32 years.
Okay, Bishop Boomer.
And when he joined UPS, it was just almost like working for the post office. I mean, it wasn't like the UPS you see today.
Facts.
And, you know, UPS was a private company when my dad worked there. And he joined there in the 70s. And they had an option for employees to buy into the company stock. And my dad overheard some white guys at the water cooler one day saying
ear hustling.
Yeah, he's ear hustling. He's like, my goal is that I will have enough stock where the dividends, and even though it was a private stock, it still paid dividends. They were like, look, the dividends will be enough for me to live on just the dividends without ever having to touch the principal.
Mm.
And my dad said, you know what? That sounds like a good plan. They weren't talking to him, but he made that his plan and he did it.
But that speaks to having a front row that doesn't look like you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the other people at the company who might have looked like your dad might have given the advice of just, you know, you just got to put that money in the bank.
Yeah.
Which is also good advice, but you want all the advice.
Or my mom. My mom, you know, came from a different economic background than my dad. She didn't have the same values of investing and you know, faith in terms of like believing that things could work out differently. My mom, every time he got a chance to get some stock, she was like, nah, we shouldn't buy stock. We should be buying a new car. We should be going on vacations. And my pop was steadfast in making sure that he bought that stock. And then he took a chance when UPS was about to go public in the 90s and 95, like a year before, they went to the employees and said, hey, if you want, there's a company willing to give you guys a loan. And you can go out and borrow some money and buy more stock before the IPO. My dad did that as well. And in doing so, in 1995, when the company went public, my dad, who went from literally being a middle manager, my dad used to still keep the brown outfit in the closet because if the drivers went on strike, he had to go behind the wheel and deliver packages, right? He wasn't a super high executive, but when UPS went public, My dad walked away a millionaire.
Come on.
And he was able to retire at 50. And I'm like, shucks, I'm 46 right now.
And
like,
then he put your mom in a foreign.
Bought my mom a beautiful, beautiful, expensive car. Bought her a nice, for the first time, a nice wedding ring, an engagement ring.
Come on.
For the first time, a beautiful new crib. So it's funny, when people see my parents' crib, they think I grew up like that. Like, I grew up on the plan of, you know, we gonna put all our money into this stock. And I didn't grow up on the plan of, hey, we've got the money. And so I love seeing my parents, and they're a great example. Now, one thing I learned from my dad is just this notion of, I'm gonna live on the dividends. Like, living on the dividends is kind of like having a
milk,
sorry, you know,
having a cow.
Yeah, it's like having a cow and just living on the milk that the cow provides, but never killing the cow.
And the cow might be having kids at the same time.
You see what I'm saying? Or having chickens and just, you know, selling some of the eggs, but making sure you keep that egg-making chicken, okay? No, but it's this idea that you can live and you know, my dad will live on the dividends, and me and my brothers will inherit the principal one day, hopefully a long time into the future.
Hopefully he gives it to y'all.
It's a wealth-building story.
If y'all get it.
In the black community.
He might not give it to you.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it goes to charity.
It might go to charity. It might go to the church.
Oh, we did help my dad set up a foundation, by the way, you know?
So how would you feel if your father took the line of thinking of the Gates family, Bill and Melinda Gates?
That they want to give it all to charity?
All of it.
It's up to him. I mean, the beautiful thing about my dad, my parents.
You got some of it already, so you straight.
Nah, it's not that. Like, nah. It's that, like, my parents did help all of us buy our first home.
Mm-hmm.
They did help make sure that all of us went to college. They helped to pay for those things. And like, I feel like their work is done at that point.
Yeah.
Like, Mike, we're all financially successful. We're all able to take care of ourselves. So if we get something, cool. But if not, it's not like we're waiting on it.
No, and I actually agree with you 100%. Like, when my father passed, you know, when people pass in the black community, there's always like a grab or like, what do we get or whatever the case is. And I told you before, we knew well in advance that my father wasn't going to be with us much longer. And for me, I had to tell him, like, so you're done. You're done here. You owe us nothing else aside from just being a great father and being a great support. But, like, you gave us all the things that we needed in real time. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about anything that you're leaving behind. You don't actually owe me anything for all that you've already given to make me the person that I am today.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I will say that's also a place of being blessed, right? If you're not out here needing and dying for a check when someone that you love goes on and transitions, and you know that you've received that blessing in real time.
Yeah.
But your father got to live in his wealth at age 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for a black man of his generation,
yeah,
that is quite unheard of.
Yeah, especially like my dad grew up literally picking cotton at the age of 6.
Come on.
Yeah, like to then be where he is now. I'm super proud. But the biggest thing my dad gave me is a work ethic.
But that's what I was going to say. He didn't invent anything,
mm-mm,
right? Like, he didn't stumble upon something, you know, exciting. He went to work every day and he listened to mm-hmm. others about, you know, what they were doing. He took advice, whether it was given to him or not. Mm-hmm. He was open-minded and he just went to work every day. For a lot of people.
And he invested.
But a lot of people think this wealth creation story is like, an overnight thing,
mm-hmm,
right? Or like it's sensational. And for most of our clients, it's not sensational at all. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about. We have to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you my favorite success story in our client roster.
All right, let's do it.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisor.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So we're back?
Yes.
We are talking about success stories.
Mm-hmm. Triumph.
Triumph. Mm-hmm. Hopefully in this season, right? Because a lot of people right now, they're prepping. We are prepping for New Year's. Mm-hmm. Y'all got that resolution going.
Yeah.
Okay? Y'all are working on intentions. I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, my word for 2023 was audacity. I thought I was going to be taking Audacity. Lo and behold, everybody was taking the Audacity against me. I didn't expect that.
Whoa.
But
details, please.
Listen, it was a year. But you know, a lot of people are working on their plan, on their intention. I'm about to get it together. I'm doing it different this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally about to start, you know, saving that money or working that new job or getting that degree or losing that weight or whatever the case is. And so hopefully these stories of triumph.
Mm-hmm.
are sewing into your thinking for 2024.
Yeah, I do believe you got to be able to see it in your head before it actually materializes. And if you can see it, if you can believe it, if you can speak it, I think there's a big chance that it happens.
Okay, so I want to tell one of my favorite success stories, momentum success stories. It's a woman. So she came to us when she got, she wasn't laid off, but essentially her company, one of these very, very large companies that y'all love working at, downsized and gave her and her homegirls an opportunity to leave with a nice, comfortable package.
Yeah.
I know for a lot of people, that doesn't sound like the beginning of a success story.
But it's like defeat. It's like the lowest point.
Facts, right? And again, it was one of these big, big companies that y'all just love so much and said, listen, we're trying to get rid of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easy on us. We're going to give you a really nice package. Y'all can go on about your business. And so this group of homegirls chose to do that. And with that, they decided to start a company together based on the skills that they had and utilized at this large company.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they started essentially a wellness company for women to just be better, to grow, to evolve, professional coaching,
mm-hmm.
a variety of pillars in this program. And you know, we were working with them pretty much from the beginning, right? From the moment they left, because, you know, they left with stock. And so like now this needs to be managed. And so that's kind of how we came into play. But as they started this new company, you know, they know we're entrepreneurs. And so we were helping them through that as well. And then guess what? They stopped working together. The company didn't work out for them as a group, as a partnership group.
Mm-hmm.
Second part of doesn't sound like a success story.
Mm.
Left my job, started a company with my homegirls. That ain't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this particular client then said, all right, cool. Well, I know my talents. I know my skills. I know what companies need from me. And I'm going to start my own organization.
Mm.
She's also a mom with children of all ages, which always bugs me out.
Like some are older than her?
No,
like what does that
what
mean?
I'm saying all is ages. Like she had a college student and then went and had a baby.
Yeah, that's wild.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? So, and then there's, you know, some in the middle. So like children of all ages. And decided with all of that, while having a baby, after leaving her company and starting a company that didn't quite work out in her favor, started another company.
Yeah.
And really honed in on her skills and really was super confident in what she could offer in the marketplace and blew that thing out the water.
Yeah, she really did.
Now is servicing clients in 40 countries, has moved into a new crib, is investing in other businesses, is right now in the process of building her new laundromat. And that's just something that she always wanted to do as a side hustle, is servicing every type of client, just finished her book.
Some of her children work for her.
Yeah. Right? Just finished her book and is killing it.
Yeah. And I will also say, the other homegirls aren't missing any meals either.
Facts,
they're the ones who stayed in the company are doing great.
No, facts.
That company's doing great. It's just it worked out a little different than they might have had in mind, but it still worked out really, really well.
No, absolutely. And I will tell you this, and I tell her this, and I know she doesn't believe me because, like, this is not a thing that you believe, but, and I don't even think she listens to the podcast, so it's fine. But I just want to give credit, Alan. I always said, this is like my favorite client. Like, I'm the most proud of this particular client, right? I've always said that from day one, before it blew up, before the company blew up. And what I love about this story is the continued push through.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't, you know, like I invented the ruler or, you know what I mean? Like I created the first electric vacuum cleaner, which is an idea. If it, like the, like a AI vacuum cleaner that just knows your house is dirty. If anybody's out here inventing.
Not like the robot one. Not that.
You got to turn it on and do all that. Who knows? Like who can sense it?
Like, you know, I got a feeling that it's dirty.
Just put some sensors on around your house. Just like you have motion sensors. And it's like, it's a little, it's dusty over here. Let me go over here. If anybody, I gave y'all that for free.
Yeah. The next one we'll charge for.
You know, but the AI, just send me one for free. If it comes down
to it.
But
going back to this success story, like, a lot of us are working at companies where we've been doing the same function really, really well for a long time.
Correct. And you just feel grateful because you're at the company and you got your job.
Yeah, but that skill that you've learned could be really valuable if you decide to apply it to an entrepreneurial endeavor. Mm-hmm. And it might be HR. It might be sales. Mm-hmm. It might be operations. Correct. And like being able to design a warehouse and how it flows.
It might be cybersecurity, right? It might be tech.
These are all things that you could build a company around.
And I don't think people realize that. You just think, like, I'm really, really good at my job here.
Yeah.
You're really, really good at this job anywhere, and anybody would pay you for it. And this client and her homegirls understood that from day one. Like, I don't ever remember a day of doom and gloom. Like, man, we don't got this job no more. Like, it's crazy. Like, what are we going to do? Like, they were motivated from day one. And even with the pivots and shifts that had to take place, like, this ain't going to work out for me. Like, I don't think I'm about to do this. They still remained confident and steadfast in their skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And also, no shade, right? These weren't like 20-year-old women who were just like spry and just like, you know, like, girl, I could do another thing.
Why are you making them out to be the golden girls?
No, they're not the golden girls. But I'm bringing this up, and I mentioned this earlier. This was a mom.
Yeah.
With kids of all age, one in college.
Yeah, and a baby.
And a baby, which means I'm paying for college.
Yeah.
And a baby.
And I'm buying formula.
And come like, on.
Make it make sense,
and
Lord.
I'm tired. But I'm about to start another company.
Yeah, and I lost my job last year.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right,
and
black
the business
woman.
I tried to start with my homegirls, it just didn't work out the way I thought it would.
Those was my homegirls.
Yeah.
Thought we was going to ride forever.
You see what I'm saying?
Right? And it wasn't nobody got on social media and was like talking trash.
Yeah,
and nothing like that. Everybody was super supportive of everybody going in their direction, but you continued to focus on yourself. And I mean, blown up.
Yeah.
So can I tell you something?
Please.
Another breaking news.
I insist.
So this particular client that we're talking about, I literally just had a call with her yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to be a client of hers.
I'm jealous now.
No, it's too late.
Yeah.
Go get you somebody
else.
I'm
going to be a client of hers too, probably.
No, she's booked.
Most likely.
She's booked up.
I didn't know we was doing that. So now I'm a client. So...
But
merge it in. Okay.
Merge it in. But what I'm saying is like understanding all the resources, right? And this woman who, again, just came out of the blue because, you know, our company kind of pushed her out the door and we helped her manage her assets, grow her assets, manage her companies, grow her companies, the ones that didn't work for her and the ones that did work for her, helping her in the projections for her new company. And we will continue to be a part of her makeup. But I also understand who my front row is.
Yeah,
right?
Love that.
And so then turning around and saying, I've watched you do all the things that you've wanted to do with the proper resources, the proper team in place, including Momentum Advisors. And now I want to know more.
Sounds like triumph.
Sounds like
me.
Triumph.
Yeah. I got another one.
Okay.
This is a real basic one. Like, and again, it starts with a tragedy.
Haven't they all been basic and tragic a little bit?
I know, but that's the point.
Okay. All right.
So one of our clients is now in his 30s. He's an attorney.
That's
he's a new husband. He's a dad.
And a great person.
Great person.
Great person. Real humble. Yeah, real good super guy. Humble.
But the backstory is his mom died when he was like a teenager. And when mom died, mom wasn't super wealthy, but mom had the foresight to buy some life insurance. Not like $10 million in life insurance. I think literally like $1 million in life insurance. And
just to put it in perspective, and I hate to, you know, be morbid about it, if she died at a young age, she probably wasn't paying a lot for $1 million in life insurance.
Oh, she wasn't. Yeah. She might have been paying $100 a month.
If right, come
$46
on.
$46 a month.
Come on, seriously. Yeah.
So mom dies, mom's sister raises the kid. And mom's sister pays for the expenses of raising the kid, but puts the life insurance proceeds off to the side.
And let's also add, mom's sister, she's not super financially savvy.
No,
right?
Not at all.
She's just trying to do right, just trying to do the right thing. I don't know what to do either. I'm also grieving. I don't know what to do either. We didn't come from a lot of money. So I'm just trudging along, going to work every day.
You're supposed to.
Do like I'm supposed to and just doing what I think is best.
Yeah. Not charging the kid. Taking money out of the inheritance.
Facts.
Like, basically saying, look, I'm going to honor my sister by raising this kid. And when he's of age, that money will be there, whether it be for college or what have you. But, like, I want to make sure that I raise the kid right, but also am a good steward of what happens to this money. They find us years ago. This is literally one of my first clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them to protect and grow that money. And fast forward to today, the kid, he went through college. Money's still there. He went through law school. He actually took out student loans to go to law school at our advice. Like, rates were low, okay? And we knew the field he was going to go into. He's a public servant. He's literally a public defender. He's an attorney, but he defends people because that's the type of kid he is, the type of person he is. He wants to help people. He didn't go to law school to make the most money. He went to make the most impact. And this kid has gone out. He's bought his home. He's about to buy another home. And the trust, the life insurance trust is bigger than what it was when mom died. Because we've often told the story of the person who got $1 million from a settlement, the person who may have gotten some inheritance. And often we've told the story of how it gets squandered. We did a whole show called Don't Blow It. But there's also these stories of people who were good stewards over money that's been left to them, where their life has been enhanced by it. I think a lot of times people receive an inheritance or a settlement, and their first mind is, I'm going to quit my job. I'm just going to live on this money. Where his mind was, I'm going to live my life and let that money supplement my life. And I'm going to give it some time to grow. And the more it grows, the more it can supplement me later on in life. And it just worked out really well for him.
And so here's what he didn't do, right? Like, he didn't. Because we talked about, like, this happened at a young age. He didn't turn 18 years old and decided it's time to ball out.
No.
Right? It's time to get a foreign. Mm-mm. Right? This is my money. I can do what I want to. Like, he really just continued to be the person that he was. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, I think you believe that getting money should make you a new person. Instead of just being who you are, just living in your lane, living in your space, there's nothing wrong with that. He just continued to be the good kid that he always was. And he did not now feel like the addition of this money qualified him to start acting brand new or to require new things out of life.
Yeah. And then the final thing, this is just sweet, and it's nothing to do with the wealth building, but the aunt adopted him as an adult and said, you know what? You're one of my kids now. And there's adult adoptions going on, and this is one of the first ones that I heard of. So he will be a part of her estate, but more importantly, he's an official part of their family. Her children are now this kid's siblings, and he's got a new mom at the end of the day.
I didn't even know that.
Triumph.
I didn't even know you could do adult adoptions.
Yeah, that's happening. That's a thing. It's a trend.
I'm about to start doing it.
Yeah. Now, you're a candidate to adopt someone.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You're going to adopt some people? You have people you already should adopt. Like some of your friends, you are their mom already. So.
Adult adoption.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to look into this.
Yeah.
I think I'm about to be doing some adult. Over the next 5 years, I'm definitely doing some adult. I didn't know you could do this.
Yo, we had another adult adopt. Remember we owned a gym and we had one of our trainers and there was this older couple that just.
Yeah.
Took to her and her kids.
Yeah.
Adult adoption.
Adult adoption.
Yeah, you can adopt anybody. I want to be adopted sometimes.
Watch out.
2024, like, my parents are great. They're still alive, but I think you some other parents.
Treat me right, y'all.
You see what I'm saying?
Treat me right.
Yeah.
I might adopt you.
Give me an allowance. You know
adult
what I'm saying?
Adoption. I think I'm going to adopt some adult.
Drive me to work?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, I think I'm... No, for real. I'm dead serious. I think over the next 10 years, I'm going to adopt some adults.
Yeah.
Not strangers. Don't roll up on me telling me you want to be adopted. Like, to Alan's point, there's some people in my life who I feel fully responsible for.
Mm.
Okay, but do they have to... I guess their parents got to be gone.
Yeah.
I got to wait for their parents to die.
I don't know. That's a good question. In this case, the kid's parents are gone, but I don't know about if it's a requirement.
I don't want to infringe upon your existing parents, but if they ain't doing you right, then maybe they need to go.
Yeah. Maybe but you know, it's an alternative family now. We did, it wasn't an adult adoption, but we did something similar in my family. We did a whole
it's
rearrangement.
Like a spiritual adoption.
Yeah, we did. We made my cousin, my sister. We made one of my cousins, my aunt. Like, we just kind of like rearranged it the way it felt, the way it should be.
I want mine on paper.
Yeah.
I want mine on paper so I can start claiming them on taxes.
Yeah.
It's the least y'all could do for me. Okay.
So let me tell another story. Okay. Since, you know, we're in the storytelling mood.
In the storytelling business.
Listen, it's Christmas. It's Kwanzaa. It's Hanukkah.
Oh, did I tell y'all? I didn't even tell y'all.
What?
This year, it's my first Kwanzaa.
That's wonderful.
I'm in a Kwanzaa.
Now your dude's family is he? Are
super,
they a
super?
Yeah. See, you need this. You need
well, first
this.
First of all, first I don't need.
Yes. You need this.
Oh my God.
You could really understand the spirit of Kwanzaa
first of
for
all,
a change.
It's for a change.
You
first
need
of
to
all,
be more pro-black.
I'm super pro-black. First
are
of
you,
all, very much so.
All right, name. Give me three principles of Kwanzaa.
Oh my God.
Give me three.
Nia, Imani.
Uh-oh.
No, I
uh-oh.
Got the other one. I
uh-oh.
Got the other one.
And what's Nia? What's Nia?
First of all, slow down. Okay? It's not what the episode is about, first of all. And I'm not even going to hold you. The reason why I know those two is because one of my college roommates, her name was Nia Imam.
Oh, my God.
And she's always tell us where that came from. Here's the thing.
oh, my God.
First of all.
You went to an HBCU and can't name but the... The two
first of
principles
all,
that are your roommates' names?
That's not the point, okay? I live these principles.
Really?
I do.
We should do a whole show on Kwanzaa
so
after
all,
you
did,
do your
we
celebration.
Did a, we did one episode about...
one principle.
Yes, for sure. But listen, I live these
what
principles.
What was the principle that we did the show on?
Cooperative economics.
Which is called what in Swahili?
First of all, that's not the point.
The
point is, this is my first Kwanzaa. His family very much so celebrates Kwanzaa. It's very important for them. It's probably more important than Christmas. And so, like, since they are indulging me, not since, but they are gracious enough to indulge me in my full Christmas spirit, mm-hmm. I'm super excited about participating in my first Kwanzaa. And I think I'm going to kill it.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Now I'm going to be in Mexico during Kwanzaa, but, you know, I'm going to still kill it.
Yeah. Okay.
But we were speaking about this client.
Yeah. So we have a client who's a State Farm agent.
What? Whoa, Jake?
Yeah.
Is Jake our client?
I mean, not exactly, but basically.
Basically.
More or less.
More or less.
Something like that.
Okay. Jake, the original Jake.
Yeah. And this probably doesn't seem like a high-paying field.
It's also not sexy. Just an
definitely,
insurance salesman.
Like, you're wearing slacks, bro.
Okay. Like, you just walking around here just...
Yeah.
Offering up insurance.
You're helping people get homeowners insurance.
And I need the cheapest one because the house costs too much.
Yeah. And what's funny, I was at a funeral of a friend's mom and I met the mom's brother. He's also a State Farm agent. So something's going around. Something's in the water.
Because
he was balling. Like he had on the pinky ring on both hands.
What's the other girl? The progressive girl, Flo.
Oh, Flo.
Flo and Jake.
Yeah.
They might be balling.
So he landed this job. So, like, State Farm is one of these things that's a very entrepreneurial job. Mm-hmm. They have a training program. You probably got to put up a little bit of money, but you can do really well. And what I loved about this particular client, he went into the training program. He started his own office. He was doing well enough to buy his own building.
And let's just be clear, right? Because we're accelerating the story. Starting your own office means working by yourself.
Yeah.
At first,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just doing this. By yourself, it doesn't mean actually like going out and hiring a bunch of people and creating a payroll and doing all these things. I'm pretty sure his first own office was somewhere in the house, was the kitchen table.
Word.
And his laptop and himself.
Word. And yeah, it did really well. Like my man makes like loot. Like, and the uncle who I met, he also looks like he makes loot. And this is just judging by
the pinky ring?
The pinky ring quality.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if they make solid gold glasses, but I'm saying
they
like
they do. They definitely
I think
do.
That's what he had on okay. as well. Okay? Okay. My man is the uncle. He owns multiple properties. He has Airbnbs. He was doing it a little bit. He's in like, you know, buttcrack Iowa. Like he lives like in the middle of nowhere and mm-hmm. like is doing it. And so this particular client though, he lives, you know, somewhere else, lives in the South, and he was able to buy a building. He's able to build up a really successful agency. And so he's got like three streams of income. He's got his State Farm income. He bought a building where he's got multiple tenants in there that are paying his rent, really. And he owns the building outright. And then he's an investor and he makes money as an investor. But like he went into a non-sexy industry that had some entrepreneurial opportunities. Like we did a show a while ago about these relationships that are mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And he partnered with a company and it gave him a chance to own his own business. And it's worked out really, really well for him.
State Farm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure no one's telling you that story. I'm sure that's not hitting the Forbes list.
Nah.
Right? That's not what you guys are seeing on your social media feeds when people are telling you about, you know, how they became a millionaire overnight.
Yeah.
But again, I think the point of these stories is to inspire you in that like triumph is available to you
yeah.
right now, like mm-hmm. right where you are. And even if you feel like you're doing something, you like it, you feel like you're doing a good job, but it's not as sexy as what other people are doing, it doesn't seem as exciting. No one's talking about it on Instagram. Please know, like you definitely, if you're doing your thing, the opportunity for you to create immense wealth is absolutely available for you. So stick with us. We have more stories when we come back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's needed to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum.
So we're back.
Yes.
Stories of triumph.
Triumph.
Heading into Christmas.
And you still ain't make the connection of where this triumph come from.
What do you mean?
You remember Wu-Tang?
Oh my God.
The triumph song and music video?
I'm not.
That's the inspiration for today.
You said the inspiration for today was Magic Johnson.
And Triumph. By Wu-Tang.
No one knew that.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't pick that up.
I wouldn't. That's not my era, for real.
You were...
I mean, Magic
in high
Man.
School.
No, when I wasn't.
Up. Yes, you were. 97?
I just started high school.
Yeah.
Which means I shouldn't even be listening to that type of music. I was definitely listening to R&B.
Yeah. But that's when that Wu-Tang Forever album dropped. Which we have been waiting for a long time.
You grown people. At that point, you were in the workforce.
No, I was not. I was in college.
In the workforce.
I was in college, man.
So, yes.
Y'all promoting parties.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
I was not of age to be listening to such music.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, fine.
Is Method Man on that one, though?
Of course he's on it.
So how do you feel about this residency?
So I'm loving that these artists from the 90s are getting this shine. So you got Jodeci. Doing one, you got Wu-Tang.
Here's the thing, right? I agree with you, but I also feel like there's a certain demographic for Vegas. I don't know if they're flying out for Wu-Tang.
They will. Because by the way,
residency is night after night for months.
Nah, but these jokers are doing limited residencies. Like, these ain't the Usher and Celine Dion residencies. Like, Jodeci's is like 4 nights. Like, that's all they probably
that's
got the stamina
festival.
For.
So if they're doing 3 months of Jodeci every single night, it's going to get light in there.
So you're having my baby.
Oh my God.
Again. Night
and
after
the same thing
night.
With Wu-Tang. Yeah. Like these guys. Some
it's like
them,
17 of them.
Because some of them didn't age well.
I know.
Right? So can
some
y'all
of them ain't
do
here no more.
Night after night after night?
Yo, first of all, white folks love Wu-Tang. I don't
Here's
know if you
thing.
Realize that.
Here's the thing. All y'all really have to do. Just don't. I'm gonna give y'all another one for free. put Wu-Tang featuring Method Man, and I guarantee you,
yeah, the black women
it's
are going to
sell
out
every time.
I'm gonna just tell you like this: I was in Vegas during one of the Usher nights, and
watch this.
The black women are out. I'm gonna just tell you like that. Like, I'm a married man, but I will tell you, if there's any single men listening, just show up. You don't got to go to the show.
No, you don't. Because I've been. I went to the show.
Just be in the vicinity.
I went to the show, and like, you really, it's inside the casino. So you're, just be in the casino.
Yeah, just
be in the casino.
You could be on the slots, my guy.
Right. No, for real. Like, right outside the door. It's like you walk through one door, you're in the Usher concert, but mm-hmm. you're right in the middle of the casino. All you had to do was just hover.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you the cheat code. The after party is $40.
Facts.
And they're ready. They're in there hyped up off Usher.
You see what it did to Keke Palmer's relationship? So you already
There's a
know.
Lot of pent up energy in you that after
know.
Party. Okay.
Listen,
I had
not
to get
go to the
out
after
of
party.
I had to get out of there.
I did not go to the
I
after
had to
party.
Leave.
I went to the concert.
Yes.
And I went on about my business.
Yeah.
But we was in there.
Yeah.
So that's not the success story we're talking about.
So I'm guessing the Wu-Tang residency, maybe it's going to be a...
Hopefully the room is smaller.
Maybe they're going to be fighting.
That's what I'm saying. Like, can they put on a full show? I'll tell you, Usher's show, for y'all who did not see Usher, Usher's show was so exhausting. It was 3 hours. He never stopped dancing. Mm. And so just like being in the audience,
all
trying
that money,
to keep up.
He better not stop dancing.
Like literally in the audience trying to keep up with every song. I remember at the end of hour two, I was like, you got to stop. Like, I'm tired. And he came back and did a whole full hour. And so like, I know Wu-Tang's not giving us that. Jodeci's not giving us that. It's not enough leather jumpsuits and Timberlands in the world. Mm. Jodeci's not giving us 3 hours. So I hope it's a smaller room and a smaller expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So going back to Triumph.
Okay.
So I got another story, and this involves, you know, a similar group of women where they joined up together and it didn't work out mm-hmm. as a partnership. But the ones who stayed in the business did really great. Like, they're out here doing conferences. They're out here
retreats.
Selling products. They're doing retreats. They're doing corporate consulting.
They're also changing lives.
Yeah. Like, it may not be the way you thought it was going to be. But it can still be very great.
100%. And not only this particular woman that you're talking about, it's honestly running through her entire household.
Yeah.
Right? Because her husband is also an entrepreneur.
Super successful.
Super successful. And again, started doing exactly what we mentioned earlier. He just has a great skill.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he was doing his IT skill at his job.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point realized, like, I can do this for anyone. I can get contracts. I can get government contracts.
And by the way, they're always doing these government fairs of teaching minorities how to get contracts. Have you gone to one? Like, have you tried just seeing what the requirements are?
Because you'd be surprised.
The government is out here breaking people off, and they want to do business with women and minorities.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be willing to fill out the paperwork and willing to set up the company and look into what they're looking to buy.
And be in good tax standing.
Yeah, no, that will help for sure.
But yeah, it's a husband and a wife combination, and he's an entrepreneur running a wildly successful IT company. She is running her wildly successful, you know, professional coaching and empowerment and retreats. And honestly, they've got these rock star kids,
mm-hmm.
and they're a young black couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, yeah. no overarching amazing, no one came from, you know, unlimited wealth.
Yeah.
You know, no one started off as a pro athlete, like just was good at their job.
Yeah.
And whether by choice or not, saw the opportunity to create their own thing.
Yeah. And their legacy wise, again, I hate to tell people it's all their business, but like they may or may not be planning to buy a big parcel of land and buy multiple homes on that land for their parents to live and for them to live and have people there that have medical capabilities, like, you know.
And let's talk about the fact that this particular couple also, you know, because, you know, they are our clients, had us do a meeting with their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their kids are in high school.
Yeah, teach them about investing.
So listen, you got to, no, not talk to them about their investments.
Yeah.
Because they've already invested for their kids.
Yeah.
And so can you talk to them about their investments so they know how to pick and what to do moving forward? We don't need to be on the call. This is their call now.
Yeah.
What type of flex is having a financial advisor at 15?
Mm.
Black family.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fact. All right. New story.
Okay.
So I read a post recently on Facebook, and the post basically said, you got to switch jobs every 3 years if you want to get ahead.
Mm.
Like, don't be loyal to these companies. Mm. These companies ain't loyal to you. Every 3 years, you need to be in a new job. And I'm thinking to myself as an employer, I would never hire somebody that is 30 years old and has been at five different companies.
I will tell you, before I became an entrepreneur, this was my mantra.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't know if you really did it.
I did it every 2 years for real.
Okay.
It worked out in my favor. Because my pay jumps.
It feels like you were at some of these things
a long time, but yeah, happened.
How long were you working with
Listen, because it ain't the time. It ain't the time.
How long did you work for Puff?
Wait a minute. Who? Who?
Don't do that. So either way, this is a guy. So when I was starting at Goldman, he was starting at Goldman also, but I was coming out of grad school. He was coming out of undergrad. And he interned at Goldman as an intern. He went to work there full time, and he's still there. And this is like, I got to Goldman in 2004, so he's been at Goldman for 20 years now. Mm. He's worked his way up from being an analyst to associate to VP to now MD. And all at one company, my man has gone from making probably like $60,000 to multiple millions of dollars a year all at one company. And while there is something to be said about the person that jumps jobs every year, mm-hmm. or 2 years, okay, the Tiffany camp, there's also something to be said by the person that really likes their company and just sticks with it and does a good job and works their way up the ladder. I know sometimes it's like a pipe dream or a hoop dream to think that you could do that. Sometimes these companies let you down. I'm not saying that there's not some days where my man is frustrated, but I'm saying it can really work out.
And I actually love this story. I actually love this story for that reason, right? And I think ultimately all of these stories, what they do is tell you that there is no particular pathway. There's no one way to do this. Again, we are wealth managers. Our job is to manage the wealth of individuals. We are telling you the stories of Black people,
mm-hmm.
right? Like just regular Black people who have amassed a significant amount of wealth by doing a variety of the things that no one ever praises.
Yeah.
Right? Just staying at the same job.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in the company stock.
Yeah.
Getting laid off and deciding to build something with your homegirls.
Yeah.
Working at State Farm.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and it's not about State Farm. It's just, you know, about a profession that for some people sounds mundane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that might require you to be selling.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, it's only so much insurance in the world.
Yeah.
You know, but all of these different things, nothing that we've talked about is groundbreaking or exciting. But I will tell you, if you were to see these people today, not knowing how they amass their wealth,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, oh, I know they're balling.
Yeah, they didn't invent anything.
Not a
thing.
Can't
dunk a basketball. Probably wouldn't finish the 40 in under 8 seconds. Okay?
Seriously.
But all doing it. And the final one I want to tell before we break, this is like multiple clients. So we often talk to college students and we give this example. And we give the example of a person who makes $60,000 per year. They put 12% into the 401k and there's a 6% match. Mm-hmm. So it adds up to be about 18% of their pay that gets put away for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
That works out to be about $10,800 per year. Let's just round it down and just say $10,000 per year you're saving for retirement. And we ask these kids, well, if you put this money into your 401k and you earn just a 7% rate of return, but I put away $10,000 every year for 30 years. So over
$10,000 a year.
Yeah, for 30 years, I've saved myself $300,000. Mm-hmm. But we asked these kids, how much do you think the money's going to be worth in 30 years? And again, these are college kids. They graduate college at 22. We're now talking about by age 52.
Which is fairly young.
Right? By age 52, how much money could you possibly have, assuming you got no raises and all you did was put that money away every single year and you earned that 7% rate of return? What's the number? It ends up being over $1.1 million.
And here's the thing, right? That's not even a realistic story in that you don't get any pay raises.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any incremental bumps in salary. Like, the expectation is that you hopefully are making substantially more and you're able to contribute more.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but that's if you don't. If you have the mundane story of, I've only made $60,000 for the last 30 years. First of all, there's a lawsuit somewhere in there. And I just put the same amount away. I did the same thing every single year. By 52, you can retire as a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't sound sexy. We have a client.
So many clients
like this. We have so many clients. I remember one of our first clients like this literally worked, no college degree, worked a very regular labor-focused job all of his life,
mm-hmm.
was a millionaire, had a beautiful house,
mm-hmm.
invited us out to his house, made dinner for his mm-hmm. wife, made this bomb pound cake.
Mm-hmm.
So unassuming. I don't even think his kids were aware what he was sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a six-figure salary.
No. My man made $50,000 when we met him.
But was balling in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he received any stock options from anywhere.
And all he really did, he invested in his 401k and he bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he sold that house and bought another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the equity from the first one to put into the second one. Like he paid for all of his kids to go to college. Like he retired early.
I think we're trying to make triumph the standard in 2024.
Word. Like it ain't that hard, people. It really isn't.
And I think we make it hard on ourselves. Because we don't think what we're doing is enough. We don't think what we have is enough. Our opportunities are enough. But honestly, if you lean into them, if you own them, the opportunities that you currently have that's currently standing in front of you, I'm telling you, your triumph is available for you financially.
Mm, that's a great Christmas gift. Can we give some triumph this year?
You got to take it.
Yeah, that's true.
We will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.